Today's date is June 9th, 2023. Joe, would you state your full name, please?
Yes, my name is Dr. Joe Connor.
Your date of birth and your present age?
I was born May 3rd, 1949. That makes me 74 years old.
All right. Where were you born?
I was born in a little town north of where we're at now, in Scheider, Oklahoma, above a drugstore.
And where are we recording this?
We're recording this in Fairfax, Oklahoma, in the offices of the Fairfax Chief Newspaper, the Fairfax Community Foundation, and also the Office of Paradox Research.
And who is this woman sitting to your right?
This is my wife, Dr. Carol Connor.
Carol, you married Joe. That's why you're here at this table.
That's exactly why.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so when did you get married?
Oh, my goodness. Decades ago.
Okay. All right. Can I have your date of birth?
I never tell people that.
That's fine. That's fine if you don't want to do that.
I'm close to Joe's age. You, can we say that?
No, you appear to be 39.
Absolutely. Thank you. Got it. You got it.
So the book Killers of the Flower Moon and the Birth of the FBI by David Grann tells the story of murder, assassinations, fraud, conspiracy, and corruption. And the story takes place here in this very little village called Fairfax. Now, we're going to hear the term allotment. Give me the definition of an allotment.
Allotment was the government's policy of dividing reservations amongst the tribal members that were alive at the time of allotment. So, for instance, for the Osage, there were around 2,300 of us here. And each of them got that 2,300 each got a share of the former reservation, which is Osage County. And so that amounted to a little over 600 acres apiece. And then part of that was reserved for what was called homestead, in other words, where you built your house. And then the rest of it was called surplus land. So some of those were small parcels that just scattered all through the reservation. So my fathers and my grandfathers and my uncles, my aunts, who were all allotted, got land. And my grandfather, being an educated person, a full-blood Osage who spoke the language, was educated nonetheless and figured out, hey, he could trade with other Osages their surplus land for his surplus land and cohese the land into one parcel for him and his children. So I was raised in the northwest part of the county, and where he was able to bring most of that allotted land together into one piece. Not all of it, but most of it.
So one of the things about allotment was that when tribes were moved here and given reservations, the land was held in common. That was really hard for individuals to figure out how to get their hands on if they wanted land. And so allotment was partly an idea of we will give each individual Indian their own land. That will help, quote, civilize them. But it also then made it much easier for people to buy the land or rip off the land or because it was smaller parcels. And so allotment was a movement that did not work in the favor of most tribes.
Why?
Because then you could lose your land. So if you had believed that land was held in common and you had not known the white concept of individual land ownership and someone came to you and said, hey, you know, I'd give you a bottle of whiskey for your land and you didn't know that you owned it, you didn't have that concept, that sounded like a deal. And so it was an easy way for natives to lose their land.
Or to keep it as an allotment. They knew this was their part of the reservation.
If they knew. If they were educated and knew that.
It just so happened.
Many Osages, for example, never lived on their allotments.
Why?
Because they lived in villages.
Right.
And so they lived
and
in...
And so an allotment could be out in the prairie somewhere, and why would you want to live out there?
Right.
That's right. They were village folks, we were.
Yet that allotment could produce some oil, right?
Well, and so the way the Osages did it was they held the mineral rights in common. They did not allow that to be allotted.
They were not allotted.